the greatest asset to our life right now as believers. That, Father, that we know that this word is so powerful. It's healing. It's health. It's the expression of our faith. It's our existence. It's our life. And so, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that many of your people have ears to hear today. That they know how to focus their soul to assimilate what's said so that it can come forth as revelation through the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. We look for that anointing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, we know the old story about how God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's plural. It's lives. And then it says, man became a living soul. It doesn't mean that man did not have a spirit, but his life was through the soul at that time. But you got to remember, man was not a fallen being at the time that he was created of the dust of ground and God breathed into him the breath of lives. In other words, not only his spiritual life, but also his soul. Adam was probably laying on the ground as a lifeless being because he had no soul in that physical body as of yet, nor spirit. So when God gave Adam his spirit, he also gave him his soul at the same time. And so as a result of that, he came alive. But he was alive because his soul was directly connected to his spirit. His soul had not yet been circumcised from his spirit because he was not a fallen being. He was created in such a way that God could communicate to him on the level of a spiritual being because Adam didn't know, really, that he was just a physical being. He knew he was also a spiritual being. And so God, we know, that communicated with him directly, face to face, before the fall. And so God created this man. And after he created him, he turned man and faced him towards his creation and said, now let him have dominion over this creation. That's what it was all about. He turned to man and said, man, I want you to name everything in creation, and I want you to take dominion. And then he said something very interesting. He says, I want you to keep. The word keep in the Hebrew means to guard or protect what I've created for you. Actually, mankind doesn't realize that when God created something, he didn't create it to fail, nor with the possibility of failure. And now I'm going to say some things that might not be traditional. Might scare some of you. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it'll open up or unlock a mystery that's been a part of your life for some time. But this planet, I'm sorry to say, is not 6,000 years old or almost 7 or whatever. By accident, science can prove that to be a fallacy. Adam and Eve didn't have an acquaintance with a dinosaur. What about Leviathan? Well, if you knew where that story originated, you'd let it go. Somebody says, well, it was a real sea monster or whatever. Leviathan was a fable or a story created by man. When you study scriptures, it comes out very clear. But let me share something with you. When God gave mankind his creation, did he give mankind all of his creation? Absolutely. God gave it to man. And I believe that he had one purpose in mind. And that was to incarcerate the outlaw that possibly destroyed this planet long before Adam and Eve showed up. And I believe there was a world that existed before Adam and Eve. And I think because of the chaos that came out of that first world, that God judged it and in such a way that it was instantly judged. They have even found that natural resources, science has found that natural resources cannot still comprehend how that creation was instantly judged. They don't know how to define that in their thinking. So they come up with different forms of thinking, and one was that some planet hit this planet at one time, and that was probably one of the things that killed all the dinosaurs at once. But there was an instant abating of that first world. And in spite of what people say, God does not create life out of chaos. God creates life, and man takes it to chaos. Are you following what I'm saying? Matter of fact, we have tons of scripture that would take me a long time to get to that actually validate the fact that when God begins a work, He intends for it to be successful. He intends for it to be blessed. And He intends for those that are going to be blessed to succeed. Amen. That is always the heart of God. And mankind, when the fall had taken place, mankind left a position of authority with God and ended up turning his authority over to that outlaw again. And I think what God intended for that outlaw to do is make a mistake so that he could get Adam to incarcerate him and his league that went with him forever. Because we find scripture that says hell was prepared for the devil and his bunch, not for mankind. Which gives me a little insight. It means that God had a plan and a purpose for Adam and Eve to incarcerate an outlaw that he cast out of heaven as a bolt of lightning. And you got to remember, Lucifer was a fallen being when he approached Adam and Eve. And so when Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven as lightning, he was referring to his actual preexistence with God as Christ before he took on flesh. Are you following me? And he was expressing that at the fact that he was pitched out of the third heaven. And as a result of that, he approached Adam and Eve, and I do believe there's no scripture that validates it, but I know that there's tons of scriptures that validate the heart of God. And the heart of God is for the good of anything that he creates. There is no evil in God. There is no darkness. If he is true agape, then you stick to that thought that he is a God of agape, then we're all going to trust in what isn't real clear in Scripture. We can always fall back on the nature of God as bringing judgment to the Scriptures of God. Amen. Can I hear an amen on that? You see, that is the person that's over your life. Thank God for that kind of person being over your life and my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God never created man to ever use him as a puppet on strings. God created man so that he can enjoy his fellowship with man, and man would have dominion, and man would create the perfect will of God in the earth as a friend to humanity. And they would be co-partnering together and working together. Are you following me? In this manner of love that God and God alone created it or existed with it and gave it to mankind. Amen. See, we have to know that. So what happened? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, it said God created the heaven and earth. And actually in Genesis chapter 2, it's worded wrong there. It says, and something became void and chaotic, which means something took place. Well, I believe, according to Isaiah and Ezekiel, it gives a very clear indication of the position that Lucifer had before the fall. And matter of fact, I thought it was very interesting. In one passage, it speaks of all the stones that were found on the priest's breastplate as actually having been actually an inheritance that belonged to Lucifer at one time. So when he was dethroned and derobed in the third heaven, he was put here for a purpose. And the purpose was for a lower creation to bring him to destruction through the dominion that God had given Adam. If you think anything contrary to that, then you have to pervert the person of the nature of God. And I'll stand to you face to face and deny anything that you would say that would be contrary to that. Because in God, there is no darkness. Don't even be fooled to think there is. Because so doing, you would make yourself a child of the enemy and not even know it and be a child of light at the same time. You've got to know the love of God over your life. If you don't know the love of God over your life, then I got news for you. Probably wouldn't even be breathing now if it wasn't for the love of God over your life. How do I know that? I believe that I received Him when I was 12. But I really received Him when I was 24, 25. I mean, I really had full control of my soul as far as understanding what I was doing. But I believe the grace of God covered me up until that time period. And you know what God told me one time? He said, I saved you in the nick of time. And I asked Him one time what He meant by that. He says, well, I had a timing over your life that you wasn't aware of. And I aborted Satan's plans for you by bringing you to salvation. I believe that. Because my philosophy before I got saved compared to what it is now is two different things. You know what I mean? My philosophy is, how much can I take for how long and how high can I go? You do not live when you're drug-infested and alcohol-infested and you're a fighter and you're an idiot and everything. You don't survive in this world. See, so thank God for God saving me, huh, Sue? Sue knew me before I was saved. And Sue wanted to not know me before I was saved, after she got to know me. Hallelujah. She doesn't think that way now. Anyway, moving right along. And so, see, what people don't understand is that you can have anything you desire from God if God provided it for you in a pre-designed plan. The only thing that's keeping you from it is your rights to it. And your rights to it, you have. And not by works, it's a gift of God. Least any man could boast. So it's a matter of authority. It's a matter of submitting to what God has given you as an inheritance and moving in the authority of that to succeed in what God... See, many Christians hope God will do something. But a true Christian knows that he has authority to do God's plan. There's a difference. See, if you're hoping to get something, you've got the wrong vein of thing coming. But if you know it's your rights and privileges, then know that God will give it to you, but you're the one that has to exercise your authority to receive it. You know what causes many believers not to exercise their authority before God? Is they've got their eyes focused on themselves. I've found that you're better off keeping your eyes focused on what you are in Him first, so that He can turn around and make the adjustments in you that's correct. But He don't stop everything till you make the adjustments, or we'd all be dead. It's God's grace and mercy over our life that sustains us, not our own righteousness. We try to exercise our authority through our own righteousness rather than resting on His ability to bring it to pass, what He's freely given us according to His will, until we're no longer extended on grace, but we're now moving into the mature will of God because we have brought ourselves to a place of maturity. Are you following what I'm saying? See, now, if I've been brought to a place of maturity and understanding, and then I violate the will of God, then that's a whole different story. But I don't want to go there today because I want to focus on something that I want you to continually be aware of. The authority that operates in heaven, the authority that is operating in heaven, the authority that's operating in heaven is an authority that now originates in the earth. This authority does not originate in heaven. Heaven already decreed what the authority is according to a believer, but it has to emanate from the authority that's in the earth, because that's where he gave it. You see, in Luke chapter 4, when Satan approached Jesus, he tried to get him to do something. He tried to get him to even use Scripture to validate his own self, Jesus' own self, to who he was and to whom he should praise. And one statement that Satan made, you know, they call Satan a liar. You know something? He is a liar and he's a father of it. He is. But there are things that Satan will say that is truth, but it's not truth if it's not validated by God. It's only truth if it's validated by man. And one thing that he did say to Jesus, which was of truth, and that is, this authority has been given to me so that I can give it to you. Now, where did that authority come from? Well, Adam and Eve had this authority, and God placed within the center of that garden the key to the rights of their freedom. You know what it was? They can do anything they want once God has created them to have dominion. It's up to them now. But here's the key. God knew that dominion would not be perverted as long as the knowledge of good and evil was not operating in their heart and life. It would be the divine appointment of that nature, that spirit that came from God, that would keep them in the perfect will of God. But God had to allow them the freedom as a moral being, the freedom to choose if he was going to create them. Not Adam and Eve had no strings attached to them, people. He didn't create them, then put strings on them. He had to create them in a way that he wanted their heart in freedom. God is a God of freedom. He's a God of liberty. He's a God that gives you the right to choose whatever you desire to choose. God will be your destiny, whether it's bad or good. God will move in the freedom of your choices. If God just don't do something, God's waiting for you to make the choice, and he'll come in and strengthen you to do something. You see, you got to believe that. If you don't believe that, you'll never live victory in your life. Never will. Now, here's what happened. He said that, first of all, man was formed of the dust of the ground, and he had to breathe the life into him. Now, notice this. After the fall, notice that something that happened. In verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis, it said the eyes of them both were open. That is talking about how they could see from the realm of their soul, their natural life. That's what opened. Their senses came alive. Now, the minute that happened, God turned. He came and found, because there was a disturbance in the third heaven. God came down in the garden after this disturbance, after this fall, and he didn't come down to have fellowship with them and then catch himself off guard. Oh my gosh, what has happened here? God came down to validate what he already knew happened. Are you following me? And he called out to them, and it wasn't that God didn't know that they'd fallen. God was there because of that fall. Are you following me? And so he approached them, and he realized that he no longer had a family committed to him, but he now had a dominion, a rule that was now turned over to someone else that his family had. Are you following me? Now, if God gave that dominion to Adam and Eve, and they turned it over to this outlaw, which is Satan, then Satan really had no right to say what he said in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus put his flesh upon the altar of sacrifice. Because he was tempted to partake of that dominion through his natural being. He was tempted again so that Satan could dethrone Jesus just like he did Adam. Same dethroning. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And so we know the story. Jesus didn't give in, and the devil departed. Then the angels came and ministered to him. But he gets the excuses going, which a lot of us do. We always have excuses for our failure. Then he comes down to the devil. In verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." Oh, I love this verse. "And above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." You know what? That word for dust here is not that this animal of some kind was an upright snake and it fell to a lower position and now it crawls on the ground and eats dirt. You know, sometimes the mentality that we have when it comes to the scriptures of God's word, the dust that he said you'll eat all the days of your life is now that Adam and Eve gave the dominion of that which was created from the ground. Now they'll serve what was created from the ground because the dominion now had been given to the archenemy, which is Lucifer. Hello? You know, it's you know, back in the 60s, we as a young generation, we cried out rebellion through love. Did you know that? You know the hippie era? You know, we mention that to our kids now and they go, "What's that?" But the hippie philosophy was, let's just love everybody and not obey authority. Do you know love has authority? Are you following me? Thank God for that. Because if God didn't put law, man would have annihilated himself. Love does put restraint. Are you following me? And so, my philosophy was, I have a right to any tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't care what you say. Because people would preach to me, "Do you want to get saved?" I said, "From what?" From going to hell. I'm in hell. See, I didn't know there was a literal hell. Why? Because I had no fear for God. That's why a lot of people who do witnessing was confused by me. Because they always tried to get me to turn my life over to something I had no connection to. Why? I was sold out to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and didn't know it. But you know one thing that I was determined that no one will ever take from me? My right to my freedom. My right to my freedom. What freedom did I have? I could do drugs any time of the week. I can do anything I want. I can drink alcohol. I ain't going to be no hypocrite. You ain't going to get me to be a hypocrite. Why? I'm a sinner going to hell that's already in it. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm free. Isn't that kind of thinking weird? It's kind of... Yeah, well, it's worse than a druggie. A lot of druggies are self-depressed because they know they're doing wrong. Me, I didn't know I was doing wrong. I thought it was freedom. And my gosh, if I could see a true picture of myself in a mirror, from God's viewpoint, I'd see chains and locks all over me. And in a prison cell, wouldn't even know where it came from. And that ain't me. Oh, yes, it is. And you know something? If you know people that are not saved, not born again, they're in the same position, they just don't know it. They're not free. There's no such thing as freedom until you get born again. Then you've got the spirit of the law of liberty working on the inside of your heart. That means that you have all the grace that is necessary to bring change back to the original creation that man was to begin with. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What are we going to be talking about here these next 2 Sundays? We're going to be talking about a believer's rights in his authority to expedite the will of God in earth. So if you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was the Kenneth Hagin book, The Authority of the Believer. Notice this. There's a statement here. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, I want you to look at the verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Actually, in the Greek it says, therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Notice this. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The word for new creature there, literally in the Greek, means original formation. Original formation. Restored to the original spiritual state. You see, many believers don't realize that when they got born again, there was an inward change that took place, not an outer. I wish there was. But it's all inner. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The blood that separated you from God is no longer your own blood. It was the blood of Christ that rescued you from your enemy. The middle wall of partition has not been bridged, people. Jesus blew it out of the way. He brought you back to the original state that you were meant to be in to begin with. Even if you came out of the loins of Adam and Eve before the fall, you would possess nothing anymore than what you have now. But because you came out of the loins of Adam and Eve, the body and the spirit are created together. In spite of these stories about little spirits flying around some throne, make me a spirit, make me a spirit. Makes me question the rest of the story. So contrary. I'm going to tell you, never take personal experiences over the Word of God. The Word of God is your stabling factor. And there were so many other things on this particular man's story, I just debunked the whole book. Especially that one. God, you was not a spirit in heaven. Then came to planet Earth and got incarcerated in flesh. Your spirit was conceived. That your body was conceived. That's why little children are not born alive. They are born as spiritually dead as anyone else. Now, if they die as a little baby or an innocent child, God creates them and brings them home because they were conceived in innocence. They were conceived against their will. Are you following me? And all he did is just do the process, the same process that got you to be born again. He brings them on home and creates a brand new spirit out of them anyway. And they grow up there. Are you following me? And thank God that your little baby, or if you've lost a baby, Jesus, I guarantee you, took that little baby home. In spite of some preachers on radio telling, if you're a child of unsaved parents, you'll go to hell if you die. That is a bunch of garbage. God doesn't take the innocent to hell and leave them there. If that's the case, what about the children during the flood? When God flooded that whole planet and killed those little innocent babies, why do you think that those were the spirits that God went to talk to? Declared why they were saved, because they were in a state of innocency. And God said, your redemption is now belongs to you. He preached to them, proclaimed their liberty predicated on His grace to take them on and put them in Abraham's bosom till He had a right to bring them out of that prison. Whew, glory to God. I know this is a lot over some of our heads, but so we got to get over our heads. Gotta start bearing witness here first and listen to the tapes. Boy, you have no idea the value of these little children in our lives. And yet I know Christian parents that are not tender with their children when it comes to spiritual issues. Got to learn to be tender with these kids. Because your example is their life and death eternally. You have an interest for the kingdom of God, your kids will have an interest. You don't have an interest for the kingdom of God, it'll show up in your kids. Sorry, I'm preaching a little long to you. But we'll stop. But I want you to know, your destiny is in your hands. And the will of God is in your hands. It's not in God's, it's in your hands. I'm going to prove it by Scripture. You know, it says in John chapter 1, behold, I give you power or authority to become a son of God. He goes on to say, and this authority didn't come by any physical conception. Not by the will of man or the blood of man. That's what he said. It's supernatural. When you got born again, you were supernaturally deposited into a different world of authority than what you were in. Whether you're living there or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, people. Outside of substance, God wants you to dream big with Him. Apart from natural substance, God wants to see yourself succeeding in Him. Outside of personal wealth on this earth, are you following me? God wants you to know that you can go as far as you want with Him, but the choice is up to you, not Him. It's up to you. You can be as spiritual as you want to be, or you can be as carnal as you want to be. But nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. It is up to you, not Him.
Well, that doesn't sound like God's in control.
You know this sovereignty thing? First of all, it comes to reason that there is a sovereignty of God. But God is so strong that He turned His sovereignty over to your desire to choose. What a powerful God. Shows me we have a God that don't have any fear. It's man that fears, not God. So that's a choice you're going to make. Yeah. Well, you're the idiot. No, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. If that's a choice you're making, I ain't joining myself to that choice. But if you want to make the right choice, I'm hooked up with you there, buddy. You know, it's great to be hooked up with God. You know something? I got to stop. Well, I got so much of God in me, I don't know when to stop. I just have to hit the pause button for till next Sunday. But I got to give you a scripture that God showed me that is so powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the NIV, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When you're born of God, it says, for we are His, we are God's, this is the Amplified, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. You know what? When God takes you down the road of life, people, I got news for you. You'll never go to a dead-end road. I'm telling you, I've seen so many Christians go down dead-end roads. You think they'd get a revelation what dead-end means. They head for the same road. It says dead-end, and they go right to... How many of you have ever violated a dead-end road sign? Can I see your hand? How many of you? I have. I violated a dead-end road. And guess what was at the end of the road? A dead-end. Oh, I know it said dead end, but this thing really does dead end. Why do you think they put it there? So you'd be like a cow chewing your cud? That sign wasn't there before.
That's a good word.
It's the way a cow is. He gets so used to a path, you put a gate in front of it, he'll stop and stare at that gate till he dies. Gate's not supposed to be there. Some of us, that's our mentality. We go down the dead-end road even though we've seen the sign. Dead-end! I tell Christians, don't head that way. Why? There's an 800-foot cliff 50 feet down the road here. Don't go zoom. Da-hoo-hoo-hoo! And then we sit here and we go, I don't understand. Well, you know why you don't understand? Because none of that makes sense. What makes sense about going down a dead-end road that dead ends unless you live at the end of the road? Some of us live there. The road ends. I guess I'll make my home here. Shut up, John. Oh, John's not here. I got to share this one scripture. Get you to meditate on it so that going a few minutes over will be worth it. Psalms 115, turn there. Psalms 115, that's where all your pages are stuck together because you attend by His Word Christian Center. So he said, what's that all about? We don't get into the Old Testament too much, and when I do, I get in trouble. Psalms 115. And let's go to verse 14. Yeah, let's go to verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. In other words, die a death that's apart from God. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Why did he say that? Because even though God is the God of the heaven, God knows that he gave the authority and dominion to man in earth to exercise His will so that they are blessed. We have to get under that authority. Did you guys get something here this morning? Hallelujah. We'll just keep right on what Keith Hershey had validated. How many of you have been pregnant with a lot of scriptures? I told Keith, I says, well, when you come back, you're going to see a lot of pregnant people walking around. He says, yeah, I'll look forward to the day of the birth. And I said, no, only the pastor has a right to that. See his kid. See his the ones that God gave him birth, success in their life. Amen. Did you guys get something? If not, Omi. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Did you guys get something here this morning? Do you know how much authority you have? I'll bet you some of you are sitting there not realizing how much authority you really have. You have a whole lot of authority. We'll get into personal authority versus permissible authority. We're going to unlock a lot of mysteries for a lot of believers. A lot of it came up because David Golder, little David, a lot of Christians are confused. But when we get through with this teaching on authority, it'll unlock a lot of mysteries. Praise God. It'll bless you. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now prepare to close this service, after sharing your wonderful, beautiful word, you know, Father, what an honor and privilege to obey your word over your own existence. It's scary to think that way, Father, but I know that if we obey your word, then we have you as the person. I love you so much, Father. And I love you for Jesus, my big brother. I love you for the authority that I've inherited through his work, his love, and his act. And so, Father, today, as your people now prepare to face life again, even prepare to face the Seahawk game, that, Father, our life is secure in your hands because of your love, the nature that you are. And that, Father, even though many of us feel like failures and feel like there's no future, Father, there is a future. There is a future because you exist. Our hope is anchored in a Father that exists, that's real to me. A Father that understands my shortcomings and my failures. A Father that loves me unconditionally. A Father that corrects me without ever losing love for me. Oh, hallelujah. I just thank God for you. Jesus. I thank the Father for you, Jesus. Because you're my example of how much the Father loves me as much as he loved you. Father, if we could all come to that revelation, and the only way we can is the giving of your Son so that we would be a son in your kingdom.